And now, more civil societies, hearing ideas for real change.
Hi, I'm Eva Cox. Today I want to talk about something that everybody's talking about, which is the whole thing with Don Burke and Harvey Weinstein of sexual harassment. Now, this is not a new issue, so I've got a question. Is sexual harassment an epidemic or endemic? The difference I'm making is epidemics are things, diseases that appear from time to time and sweep over things and then disappear. Endemic means it's actually part of the system. It's part of society. It's always there. It disappears occasionally from view, but it always reappears. And I think that's what sexual harassment is, because we've been talking about it for a very long time. We've had 50-odd years of feminism, which has raised these sorts of issues. And I went back and had a look at it, at the various statistics. I mean, there's a woman in the media study currently which says 1 in 3 women in the media are harassed, and I think there's a reason why that area is particularly vulnerable, because the media is a big glam employment area, and if you've got a job in the media, you don't want to lose it, and you know if you put in a complaint about somebody who's powerful, you're likely to be removed, particularly if you're some sort of threat, and that's what's coming out with the Don Burke case and Channel 9, and everybody's saying, oh, well, we all sort of know, lots of people saying, we knew about it, we saw it, but, you know, I mean, he was a big money earner, so it was ignored. And other people say, oh, I think it might have happened, but I can't remember anybody talking to me about it, and admittedly, it's some years ago. But I think it's happening all the time, and Tracy Spicer, who's been collecting stuff, says, you know, that this does come up, and certainly the woman in the media survey suggests it's an area where a lot of harassment happens, because people want jobs in the media and you don't want to be labelled and you don't want to be chucked out. And there was a recent situation, I think, with Channel 7 in Wollongong, where somebody who put in a complaint suddenly found herself jobless. So I think we've got to recognise those particular vulnerabilities. But if you look at it more broadly, there's a whole lot of other statistics. University students, I think, again, it was a very high harassment level, workplace harassment generally, and various other things. But what to me is really significant is the fact that even when people are talking to Tracy and talking to other people about it, it's often done in confidential. They still don't want to lay complaints. I think one of the surveys showed that only 1 in 3 people had actually sort of laid a complaint when they'd actually been harassed. Because somehow or other women feel, A, they're going to be blamed, B, they don't actually have proof because it usually doesn't happen in front of other people, even though it does, C, maybe they didn't fight hard enough, scream hard enough, do something hard enough to show that they didn't want it, so maybe, you know, that they feel some sort of guilt or anxiety that they're going to be seen as guilty. In fact, women do not generally seem to have the confidence enough to do it or to do something about it. And they're quite justified in the sense that very often when women do, they're either ignored or labelled as problematic, and it goes on. There's something sort of deeply sexist in the way that our society functions. And one of the problems we have is we tend to treat this as a problem with individuals. We do the same thing with domestic violence. We get a big fuss that we're getting at the moment about charge them, put them in jail, do something that's going to show that we strongly disapprove of this, and so somebody goes to jail for this. And people think, okay, well, you know, we have fought some of the battles here, but it goes on. It doesn't seem to make any difference to the public attitudes. So I think we really do need to start thinking much more clearly about how do we deal with this stuff? What are we doing to some boys, not all boys, that turns them into some men, not all men, who think they've got an entitlement? Too many men seem to think they have an entitlement to throw their weight around, to allow their sexual desires to become dominant. If you look at some of the surveys, quite a few people still answer that men can't control their sexual impulses, so that's why women have to give in to them. And you think, yeah, that's a bit tacky. Why? You know, people don't control their desire for ice creams. Well, you know, we don't say you should be given a free ice cream all the time. I mean, there's a sense in which this way of setting it up and setting up masculinity as this overweening ability to express your sexual being and sort of playing into the idea that this proves that you're a strong man just adds to that whole thing. And there's something really tacky, obviously, about the whole sort of process of what we're doing with gender relationships. And men in power will throw their weights around, but men who are not in power also throw their weights around. So I think we've got to really be very careful when we're having this discussion that we take a good long look at what we do and why the sexual harassment is still so common. I notice that there's constantly surveys. I found a whole lot of them online, and Kate Jenkins, who's the current Sex Discrimination Commissioner, has promised another one. But we find the data. We know the data. We've had the data for decades. It goes way back into the 80s and the 90s that we knew that these things were happening. And yet somehow or other, apart from sort of maybe jacking up the complaint system, we don't change the culture. And that's why it's endemic. It's deeply buried in, unfortunately, too many men's, and very rarely women, but mainly men's, feeling that they have a right to assert their identity, to send women up, make them feel embarrassed, to run their fingers over them, to make sexist, deeply sexist and nasty jokes, to embarrass them, not because they're just making jokes, but because they enjoy embarrassing somebody by saying it to them. It's just not on. I'm sorry, we do have to make some major changes. And I think it's time that we looked at how we socialise young men and how we can get other men to stop men doing this. I mean, there's often a situation where some man will say something like this and people, including men in the room who are a bit embarrassed about it and feel it's a bit tacky or even feel it's very tacky, are not likely to say, shut up, stop it. They just sort of go along with it because they don't want to be seen to be a spoiled sport. So this is not a sport. This is a way of causing damage. And let's take this and stop it.
More Civil Societies. Every week with Julie Macken and Eva Cox.